Good morning. Great Lord, we thank you, O God, that you have left your word here with us, that we may know, Lord, how we ought to walk and function. Lord, and your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May be this, continue to be this way, Lord, this day and the remaining of our lives, Lord, on this side of eternity, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that could come and speak to us and speak through us, Lord, and change us and empower us, Lord. And do so this morning, we ask you in Jesus' name, that this would be done, Lord. Lord, bless your people, bless the saints all over this world, Lord, that they may be strengthened in you, Lord, and we might allow you to fulfill that purpose and plan that you have for us, Lord, on this side of eternity. So let it be done. In Christ's name, amen. Greetings once again. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews, it's going to be my main text. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pick it up in verse 24. He said, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works or good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We want to stop here for a moment, just look at these verses and see what kind of encouragement we could give to each other from this scripture this morning. He says, let us. It's plural, speaking of more than one. It's not just me. It's not just you, but it's you and I that it's speaking to. It's addressing us. The Hebrew writer, he's exhorting us here. He's talking to us, all of us. Let us. The call for all. All who possess the faith, all who had been blood-bought, all who is a part of the family of God through Jesus Christ, all. He's speaking here to the ecclesia, the call-out ones, you and I. That includes everyone that proclaims and to be a child of God, a disciple of Christ. He said, so we want to listen up. What is he telling us? What's his point that he's calling our attention to? He said, let us consider. Now I want you to consider that for a moment. He said, let us consider to willfully put our thought towards, to think about, in a very careful manner, soberly, let us consider. This morning, we might say, well, what are we going to consider? Who are we going to consider? And this is just what amazes me again and again about the Word of God. It's clear. It tells you. It calls your attention to something, and then it gives you. It gives you an answer, it gives you direction. And the direction here that it's given us, it said, let us consider one another. Me to you, you to me, you to each other. And we're all in it together. He said, let us consider one another. And then it talks about moving into an action. He said, to provoke. To stir, to spur to motivate. That sounds like a real action verb there. Let's get going with it. And I like the thought about the spurring. The cowboy has on his boots, the heel of his boots, this spur. And you go, hiya! And that horse goes. And he said, this is what the Hebrew writer is calling our attention to. He said, listen up. He said, let us consider how we could provoke, how we could stir, we could motivate, how we could spur one another. In what way? This is a synergy. There must be synergy amongst Christians. It's clear and it's easy. You very much feel it, see it, and even experience it. You go to a farm equipment show. You go to a tools show or a salesman seminar or convention. You go to these places and it's quick. It's very soon. If this is along your line, you become a part of that synergy, that group together. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. I'm going back home and I'm gonna get it done. I like this idea. I've been encouraged, stimulated. You could find it in the synergy. It's clear and easy to identify in the sports arena. You go down there and along your line or whatever you might like. Hockey, basketball, soccer, football. There's a synergy in the air and you become a part of it. And it's like, yeah. And even if you're not playing, you become a part of it too. You don't necessarily need to go to the sports arena for that. You find that right in your backyard or wherever. If you're playing a game or something, a game of ping pong, and someone comes along, come on, yeah. There's a spurring going on there, a motivation going on there, a stirring going on there, a provoking in a healthy way going on there. And you see, the Hebrew writer says, let us. The call is for all. Let us consider how this could happen amongst us, amongst God's people. If there could be synergy in places like that, in moments like that, in atmosphere like that, then just think about what could happen and what should be happening amongst God's people, amongst us. Are you a part of it? Are you a part of it? Do you want to be a part of that? That spurring on. Come on, Brother Dwight. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Keep looking up. Well, he said to spur on to love and the good works. And we'll come back to that. Let's just jump down to verse 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. Said, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as the end times. All the more as you see the Lord is going to return for His bride. All the more as we got to be as the five wise virgins. The midnight cry is going to be sung. The trumpet is going to be blown. It's close by. So he said, all the more. Let's do it. Let's spur. Let's motivate. And encourage one another. See, there's something divine that happens when we come together. There's something divine that happens when we come together that does not happen and cannot happen when we remain apart from one another. You could call it inspiration, you call it encouragement, you could call it synergy, you could call it whatever you want. It doesn't happen if we drift into isolation. It doesn't happen if we cut ourselves off from each other and from fellowship. So, as our friends would say sometimes, let's get together. Let's get together and do this, 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 or that. Let's get together. See, it's very important for us to get together. It is. The Word of God shows us that. It's very needful. We need to be connected so we could help each other along. I help you and vice versa. You help me. Word of God tells us that we're members one of another. We're of the same family, born of the same Spirit. And just as how it works in the home, the family needs to get together. The family needs to get together. From time to time, it needs to get together. This is how we continue to cultivate, motivate, spur, provoke, and encourage each other. And be there for each other. And bring along each other. But see, as Christians, we don't always see the value of other Christians. We don't always see the value of other Christians. We don't always see the need for each other. We don't always. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, I could handle it. I know how to run it. No, don't worry. I got a GPS. I don't need to go in the ditch. I won't get lost. Well, we need each other. We need each other, and society is working against us. This day and age we're living in is working against us. Mainstream is working against us and influencing us to be living an independent, isolated way. Even to that degree that I could come here, sit here, and still be isolated from you all in my heart. In my heart. And I know you find some of these things are done in the name of convenience, online banking, driving up at the pump, pumping in your own gas in there. You know, the online banking, you don't even have to deal with a clerk. You don't need no interaction with humanity, so to speak. It's okay. You know, you pump your own gas, swipe your card, and you don't have to greet nobody and say good morning or how are you, and or they arrest you back in any way and say, have a nice day. And I know these things are done in the name of convenience, right? But it works against us in many ways that maybe we don't even realize. We live here in a day and age, even in a country where it's not a big deal if you don't know the neighbors or if they don't know you. As long as when you see each other, you just say hi from a distance. I attempt to try and get to know my neighbor, and I felt clearly like he was trying to say, that's it, that's as far, you know? Sometimes that happens, but do we make an effort for it? Do we try and even, let's bring it more close at home, even right here in the local fellowship, in the local body, or wherever you might call your home fellowship if you're visiting here this morning, how do you function there? Do you see the need to get together? Do you see, are you one of what the Hebrew writer is talking about, neglecting? Some are in the habit, he said, of not necessarily feeling the necessity to be connected to the other members of the body. See, Christianity is not for hermits. It's not for hermits. There's no place for individualism in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12 and in verse 20, tells us we're many members, one body. Many members, one body. You want to be connected, or I should say, any true born again believer, love God, will want to be connected to His body. Would want to be around His people, believers, would want to be around other members of the body. Right? And that doesn't just go just for the local church here, I'm saying. When you see a believer and you know he's a believer, there's just some propensity, that some drawing that you want to get to know this member of the body more. You want to. And see how you can encourage, and then that synergy is created there, and you spur one another, you motivate one another. That's one of the purpose why we gather here this morning. One of the purpose in why we're here this morning. See, and there's much blessings in the members being together. We could collectively worship. We could collectively praise. We could speak truths into each other's life. We could edify one another. It should be a time of refreshing, time of encouraging, time of exhorting, time of spurring, as I'm trying to do with you this morning. Spur you on. Where you should be able to feel recharged when you meet with the body of Christ, when you meet with the members of the body, a time of recharging, encouraging, where you have meaningful conversations. I'm talking about some blessings, some of the goody-goodies that comes along with the getting together. Not neglecting, but the getting together. Spiritual and practical discussions come about a time of remembering. Oftentimes you find this. It is a time of remembering what is our purpose. Yes, that's right. We're living for this kingdom. That's right. Not for that kingdom. A time where you sit there under the word and you say, yes, that's right. I was thinking about that. Yes. And just a time of, it's a spurring going on there. It's a motivating going on there. It's a time and also an opportunity where we could make a difference in each other's lives. Yeah? Now we could do some of these things to a certain degree, even, whatever, through technology or social networking and the various means that is today. We could accomplish a measure of this, but not to the full measure of which the Word of God teaches us, encourages us, and the way we should walk, as you find when we get together, when we meet each other, when we spend time seeking to make a difference in each other's lives. And we impart wisdom, insight into each other's lives. And there's many other things that we could say that what the getting together does. And you wonder why he put that just right below when he said, let us consider. Let us consider how we could spur, motivate, provoke one another unto love and good deeds. Then right away, the Hebrew writer, inspired by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, says, not forsaking, not neglecting of assembling ourselves together, as some is in the habit of. And some was in the habit back then. People still are in the habit today. They don't really see the necessity to get together with members of the body. Well, God calls us not to a solitary... someone had this quote. He said, God calls us not to a solitary sainthood, but to fellowship in a company of committed individuals. And that wasn't necessarily my main thrust this morning, but I needed to get that underneath there in order to build upon. To show you, my thing this morning is I want to share with you some ways how we could provoke and stir and spur, motivate one another unto love and good works, love and good deeds. That's what I'm after. But this can't take place without we putting up the blackboard or the whiteboard, so to speak, which is the get in together, so then we could write upon how we could write upon and in bringing out the practical ways in how this comes about. It's by us getting together. It's by us being together. It works in the marriage. It works in the home. It works in the local church. You even find it in the secular setting. It works. But we're speaking this morning in the context of the body of Christ here. See, this one anothering that needs to take place and does take place. If you are a child of God, you are a part of it. It's a ministry. It's a ministry that is for everyone. Each and every one of us, no one's exempted from this ministry. The very life you possess in your being, capital L-I-F-E, the very life you possess in your beings qualifies you and also calls you to give a conk in being a part of this ministry. It's a full-time ministry. This isn't a part-time one. That of being there for each other, that of serving each other, that of loving each other, that of showing good deeds and good works to each other. So, might as well tell each other, you're in it. You're in it. You're in full-time ministry. You're in full-time ministry. We all are. And if we could find the New Testament is full of it. If it doesn't necessarily say the phrase one another in or one another, it gives that message, or that message comes across clearly. And this morning I want to share some of those with you. It might not say the word one another clear as for in the sentence form, but it brings out that message. See, the Christian life is all about relationships, right? It's about relationships. And our great example, our great forerunner, our Lord, Savior, and King left us that pattern. And He showed us how this thing happens, how it comes about. And God's design for our personal growth. It's God's design for our personal growth, which then translates into church growth, right? And it expands from there. I mean church growth, the real kind we're talking about here. Not the quantity, but the quality. You know, one of the first ones is loving one another. Loving one another is a powerful evangelistic tool. The Word of God tells us that, right? In John 13:35. He said, by this shall all men know you are one of mine. If you love one another. By this By this shall all men know. This what? How much time I show up? How much work I put in? How much I give? By what? He said by this, by love. Love. Love is that mark. It's that branding mark that should be a part of our lives. And there again, in the marriage, it works out itself in the home. It comes over to the congregating of the body of Christ, and it works out itself there. And then it goes on. It goes on. Where then we love our neighbors too, also. John 13:35, it said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if, that big word in there, small word, but it's a conditional word. He said, if you love one another. And I wanted to show you some of these one another in through the channel of love. It comes down from the through the pipe of love. It takes love and humility in order for these things to be amongst us. In order for this, I mean, when I say amongst us, for it to be happening in your life, and not only just to be happening on your life, but then also receive God's blessings in return. Because I could share with one another and do it without love. 1 Corinthians tells us that. But it takes humility. And I want you to think about this. It takes humility and love for any of these things to truly happen amongst us. And when we love, there's three components that goes out from us, or three things that happens from us when we truly love. We affirm, we share, and we serve. And I want to show you, just break that down here a bit. But we want to affirm each other. He said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you love one another. And if we love one another, we're going to affirm one another. And we're going to affirm one another's strengths, one another's abilities, one another's gifts. We're going to affirm that in each other. Romans 12:10, he says, honor one another. You're affirming one another. Honor one another. He said in Romans 10:12, love one another with brotherly affection. I like how the ESV put it here. He said, outdo one another in showing honor. And I'm sure it doesn't mean that in an unhealthy, undoing way. I could not, no. But it's spurring you there, he said. Provoking you. Showing honor to one another. James 5:9 said, do not grumble against each other. Against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, a judge is standing at the door. Behold, a judge is standing at the door. We honor one another. We don't grumble against one another. Romans 12:3-8. I won't read that, but in there it tells you about the gifts, the various gifts we have, and members in the body, and it brings out there too. We need to affirm one another's gifts. This brother has the gift of, bless him for having that gift. Respect him for having that gift. Honor him with that gift. Don't despise it because maybe he doesn't have the one you have. Or the one you think he should have. These are ways how we affirm one another with love. Romans 5:7. I was first sharing there on how we affirm one another's strength, abilities, and gift. You affirm one another's equal importance in Christ. Romans 5:7 says, accept one another. So wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also receive us to the glory of God. Receive you one another, just as Christ received you to the glory of God. And you find sometimes where you might struggle. Well, I can't quite receive him or accept him because he doesn't quite know how to carry the note that he's supposed to carry, or he outsings, or maybe because of his what would you call that? Maybe because of his pedigree or status, so to speak. Maybe even because of his background. I can't quite accept him. Yeah. Well, Romans 15:7, Word of God says, accept one another. Receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. This is another way we show this love for one another, by affirming each other in the way we receive one another. You're still with me? 1 Corinthians 12:25 said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. So he's of a different background than I am. I show him the same care as I show the one that is. And you fill in the blank space with whatever might be the case with you. And where you stumble and you hiccup and you trip on receiving one another. Right? And maybe he doesn't quite dress the way I dress. So, Well, he says here, show the same care. Let there no... I like how James 3, verse 17... said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That's the part I wanted to bring home to you. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So if I give, I give with my true heart. If I share, I share with all my heart. If I'm smiling, I'm honestly smiling with you. Right? You don't want to smile back. It should be done across the board. Nobody should be here, profess the name of Christ, that cannot show the same care as you do for the person right next to you, to someone behind you, around you, or maybe the person standing in front of you. We're showing care one for another. Right? The point I'm trying to bring out there is, let's be careful that we don't do it with partiality and with hypocrisy. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. And this is the way we affirm one another with our love. James 2, Brother Alvin shared with us several weeks ago there from James 2, this favoritism that could come about. For if there comes into your assembly, you say, one, the gold ring, godly appear, and you say, sit here, and to the poor guy, you say, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. He said, are ye not then partial and are becoming judges of evil thoughts? It's saying you're wicked if you think that way. So whenever you see any fiber of that coming up inside of you, cry out to God. We cry out to God. We have that happening to us from time to time. Cry out to God. Close the door. Don't let it in. No. Same care. One for another. Don't show favoritism. Affirm one another through visible affection also. We affirm one another through visible affection. Romans 16:16 there, he said that we're supposed to greet one another with a kiss of charity. So it should be out of love. Brother, God bless you. James 1:19, it said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, Slow to wrath. Slow to let that lid of yours go. Poof, 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 poof. Sign language, we go like that. You know, the lid. Or. No, but we be ready to listen. That's more the point. Be ready to listen. Quick to listen. That showing or affirmation or love to each other. Tell me, what were you saying? Ephesians 4:32 said, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, even as God." He's giving you the standard. He said, forgive this way. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So, show compassion to one another here, it's bringing out. Show compassion to one another. The same compassion you receive of God through Jesus Christ, that same compassion I show to my brothers, that same compassion. This is how we affirm one another. First Thessalonians 3:12 said, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound." Excuse me. "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another." Excuse me. "And towards all men, even as we do towards you." So our love should increase and abound. That means it's to be pouring out, coming out, overflowing for one another. And these are ways how we affirm one another, right? "By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." I explain to you some practical ways how we affirm one another. Love also shares. We share one another's space. We share one another's goods. We share one another time. Romans 12:10, it said, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." Be committed to one another in brotherly love. I share my life with my brother. Now, back again to verse 25 here. How can some of these things happen if we're not getting together? If we're forsaken, if we're in the habit and not being together with the saints. How does this really live out itself? I hope you see the picture there. And the Hebrew writer knew the importance of this. And so he adds it right in the context. And he said, all the more, as you see, we don't have enough. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Creole. All the more, as you see, you don't have enough. We're running out of time. All the more as we see that time is running out. The sun and the time vase, it's going down. Christ is returning. Maybe you and I are going to pass on before that, possibly. "As ye therefore have opportunity," he said, "do it, do it, do it." How we share with one another, 1 Peter 4:9, So use hospitality one to another without grudging. Don't be hard when you're using hospitality. Don't be grudging about it. Don't let any reservation, you feel any reservation in your heart as you're displaying hospitality to another member of the body of Christ. And he said, even do it to others too, because you don't even know if you have entertained angels and you don't even know about it. Galatians 6:10, I was quoting that before. He said, "As we have opportunity, therefore opportunity," he said, "let us do good." Share. Share. This is a way how we love each other. We affirm and we share. We share one another's needs and problems. Galatians 6, verse 2, he said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You want to fulfill the law of Christ? We have to learn. This must be cultivated amongst us. Must be something that is a part of our lives. How we bear one another's burden. We come along beside one another. Listen to the brother's heart. He shares his heart with you. You go home and you pray about it. You commit it to God for him. Or maybe you take time right there. Pray a word of prayer for him. One Baptist preacher had really challenged me. It's amazing how those Baptist preachers are. They have their ways how they could challenge me personally in many things. But never met him before. He took me to an auction. He smuggled me in there actually, because on the way out back he said he shouldn't have took me in there, but I said okay. Helped me bought a pickup truck way back out. He said, "What are you up to?" I told him my purpose for the trip. He said, "Yeah, I want to pray." He said, "I'll remember you in my prayers." And he said, "But wait, I got to pray for you right now." He said, "He said he makes that a habit. Whenever he tells someone, 'I'll pray for you,' he said he does it right there." He came over, laid his hands on me, and he prayed for me. That really challenged me. You know, yeah. How many times, how often I said, "I'll pray for you," and I have the opportunity right there to pray for the person. "As ye have therefore opportunity," he said, "let us do good. We carry one another's burden." First Thessalonians 5:11. So, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." So he's saying here, encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another daily," while it's called today, you know, "lest you drift, your heart gets hardened." Encourage one another daily. Hebrews 3:13 encourages us to do. Well, we share one another's beliefs, thinking, and spirituality. This is also a part of us that we share. And we share out of love. We affirm one another and we share with one another. And Colossians 3:16 says, "So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So we teach one another and we admonish one another. This is also a way in where, out of our love, we share with one another. We speak to one another. We see here too, he tells us, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in Romans 12:16, it said, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your own conceit." It said, "Be of the same mind one to another." It's saying here, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. And see, another aspect too of sharing is the big part. One time ago, money was everything. Anymore today, I'm not sure if we could really say money is everything. Time is the big deal. Time is the new currency. If I could say that. Time is the new currency. We don't have much of time to share with each other as maybe we would with money. As easily, right? Time, our lives become so consumed with things and activities and plans and what all. That time
is a bigger factor in many of our lives, more than money, in sharing with one another. And when we have love one for another, we're going to take time to share with one another. We're going to give each other time out of love. So we affirm one another with love. We share with one another with love. And we serve one another with love. And as we are serving one another, we serve one another also through accountability. In James 5, 16, he said, confess your faults one another. Pray for one another. It's calling us to a measure, it's calling us to a place of accountability to one another. When he says, confess your faults one to another, it then puts me accountable to you. That I would share my life with you. And we serve each other in this way too, by me willing to listen and pray. And I said some of that already. In Ephesians 4:25, it said, lie not one to another. Is that Ephesians 4:25? Let me double check that. Oh, well, he said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Mm-hmm. And we want to be truthful. This is one way we serve one another. By being truthful. Being truthful to one another. And we serve one another through forgiveness and... how do you say that word? You don't know. Because you reconciliation. I have a problem here this morning. I'm thinking my home language... at times. But we serve one another through forgiveness and... say the word again. Reconciliation. So I did even say it wrong the first time. Okay. But... So Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So we want to be humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. At home, in our marriages, right? We want to be humble, gentle, patient. Bearing with one another in love. In the local body. The call. This is a ministry, you know. A full-time ministry. Each one of us should be participating in these one anothering. Loving one another. Admonishing one another. Submitting to one another. Sharing with one another. Affirming one another. All these things. And he said, do not provoke or envy one another. And then in Galatians 5:25, James 4:11 tells us, he brings it out, he said, don't slander one another. Gossip and cut one another behind each other's back. No. No, he said, do not. Do not. And in Matthew 5, and you find that also in Matthew 18:15, where he tells you, someone have a problem and how you go to them and you get it right. It's bringing out reestablishing relationships, broken relationships with one another. also. This is also a part of us serving one another. We be willing, as much as light in us, to live peaceable with one another. We go out, we serve. See how I could reconcile that broken relationship that is over here. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. We affirm one another. We share with one another. We serve one another. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Say, only use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh. And then this part, say, "But by love, serve one another." Serve one another. He calls us to serve one another. Now, did Christ did these things for us? Did He left us a good example of these things? Now, do you see how it, I mentioned before, how it's going to take love and humility to genuinely do these things, right? To genuinely let this be a part of our lives. Love and humility must be at the core of our hearts. This ministry of one another in, it doesn't require a platform, a pulpit, a building, or even an overseen board, so to speak. This ministry does not require that. You could start immediately, today. No training needed, or experience even. You could get activated today in this ministry if you hadn't before. You don't need to be voted in, and you can't be voted out. This isn't that kind of ministry that I'm talking about this morning. It's a call for all. So, hiya! Like the spur, let it be a part of us. Let this be a part of our lives. And as I said before, the very life we possess qualifies you to be full-time in this ministry. The ministry of one another in. And again I say, if we're not with one another, if we're forsaking the assembling, if we're forsaking the meeting together with one another, how can these things happen? Well, he said, let us provoke, spur, motivate one another unto love and good works. And I showed you how love works out in these good works. How we affirm one another. We serve one another. We share with one another. He said, let us do it all the more as we see the day approaching. And we should say, you know, even so, come, Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless His word.